Let us pray. Lord, you desire that your church would be one, but we confess that we are often divided, whether as a congregation or as a denomination. Your Christian church, Lord, sometimes seems rather fractured. And so this morning, Lord, we ask that you would show us what true identity, what true unity, what true oneness is, and how to live that out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A while ago, we started this series on Back to the Basics, and I can tell you there's this one and one more, okay? It doesn't go on forever. We have to start somehow in the launch into the next 100 years. But this morning, as we work through this text, really both of those from Acts and from John, we want to take a look at one of the basics is how does the church move forward in its unity? What binds the church together? Are there some things that we would call are the essentials of Christianity? And are there other things that maybe are unique to various denominations and unique to various congregations, and yet they are not the essentials? And is there one thing that covers over all of them? How many of you have ever seen this bumper sticker? It's all over the place. Variations of it are everywhere. This was one that I can't remember ever seeing, but that was kind of a unique way of displaying that person's belief. But you ask someone to define unity or uniformity or diversity, and you will get, sometimes you'll get, well, it's all relative. Or you may get a, well, whatever, you know. That idea of unity, in fact, for some, uniformity equals unity. That as long as everyone is doing the same thing, the same way, at the same time, or whatever, everything's got to be the same, then you have unity. This is kind of an interesting way of talking about unity, and yet even that is not necessarily exactly clear, because some will say every religion is the same. Every faith tradition is the same. We're all trying to get to the same place. It's just different avenues of trying to get to the same place. Or others will say, well, can't we just all get along? I know we look at things differently, but can't we just get along and coexist? Well, in the lessons that were chosen for this morning from the book of Acts, which we'll look at in a little bit, and in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he talks about unity, but from a little different perspective than that which is exhibited by that little bumper sticker. In fact, I wondered if Jesus had a bumper sticker, what it might say. There was a religious person in the early 17th century, late 16th century, early 17th century, Rupertus Meldinius, and he is attributed, or it's attributed to him, this saying: in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, charity. Now, that's not a bad saying, except Jesus said it 16 centuries before. in his high priestly prayer. Essentially, Meldenius was just putting into a one-sentence form what Jesus said in that long section from John chapter 17. That there are essentials within the Christian church, and I'm just going to talk about the Christian church. That's all we're going to look at this morning. Be interesting to talk about other faith traditions, but we don't have that length of time this morning to do that. But within the Christian church, are there things that are essential, that bind us together as Christians, regardless of what denomination we are, regardless of what branch of the Lutheran church we are, regardless of all of that, are there some essentials? Just prior to the section that I read as our gospel reading, from verse 3, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ." God's desire all throughout the scriptures was that everyone would be saved. That everyone, God's desire is that his creation would be reformed after the disastrous start in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered into the world, and from that time forward, God is recreating, is reforming his creation. And when he sends his son Jesus, at the end, as Jesus knows that he's going to the cross, the crucifixion starts up in John chapter 18 and John chapter 19. When Jesus is praying, he says, here are those basics. God's desire that we would have eternal life with him. That was his plan, is his plan. And that we would know God. Now, the word that's used there is that we would have an intimate relationship with God. And that that relationship comes in and through Jesus Christ. Those are the essentials. Now, there are other things that we would put in there as essentials. But from Jesus' perspective, here it is. And in his prayer, he says that they would be one. Knowing God through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. That it's not something you or I create, but that it's on God's plan. It's on God's timetable. Back next week, we're going to talk a little bit about that. That we're on a mission with God. But remember that statement from Meldenius, which Jesus really said before, that there were essentials to unity. And then there's this. Now, to be honest with you, I looked up, that's a real word, by the way, adiaphora, okay? But I looked it up in our dictionary last night, and it didn't have it. So I don't know. It was an old dictionary. It was, Diane, had been pulled from the library. And so, it was withdrawn. We got it legally, okay? Maybe that's why it was withdrawn. It didn't have adiaphora in it. But adiaphora is kind of a fancy word that simply means there are some things that are not essential. There are some things that you, me, we have the liberty on in how we view things, how we may practice something. I'm sorry, I had to put the cat in there. I just thought, I've never run across a picture that had Lutheran theology listed on it. But essentially, it's saying, When I debate Lutheran theology, I claim everything is adiaphora. Now, that's not really true. This is more true over here. But the true unity of the church comes out of the Augsburg Confession, Article 7, which are his one of the documents that gives clarity and gives unity to the Lutheran Church. Comes out of the Book of Concord. And since we're close to the Reformation, I thought we might as well use something from Luther. For true unity of the church, it is enough to agree about the doctrine of the gospel, which is essentially what we were just talking about, and the administration of the sacraments. It is not necessary that human traditions, that is, rites or ceremonies instituted by men, should be the same everywhere. Remember what Jesus said when he encountered the Pharisees and the religious leaders? He says, you are teaching as doctrines, as essential, the traditions of men. Whatever determined that we would have green chairs here, or that we would have green carpet? I'm not going to ask you to show of hands, but how many of you have ever been in discussions that said, no, for any good church, it ought to be red carpet? But we have green. It's adiaphora. That in those elements of church life that are not essential, there is liberty. There's nowhere in the scriptures that I'm aware of that says every carpet in every church has to be red. We have liberty in that. Now, that's kind of a ridiculous example, but sometimes that happens. But you can go on up the scale and say that there are a number of things. I know I'm going to touch, maybe, hopefully not, a raw nerve, but there are different ways to worship. And so we have two services. We have this service, and we have the one at 10:30. And each one, in its basics, is the same. But we, in this service, enjoy hymns. We enjoy liturgy. Those in the 10:30 service, we enjoy praise songs. It's the same. It's another one of those rites or ceremonies that is not necessarily have to be the same. And yet we're still praising God. We have liberty. But then Jesus, right at the end of John 17, said something that's just remarkable. That there is, above everything, charity. Or the word that we understand most clear is love. And this comment, Christ is seen most clearly when we are willing to love people deeply. Why is it that we're putting on, or why is it that we're hosting, that's a better word, why is it that we're hosting a Thanksgiving meal this afternoon? Is it because we have nothing else to do today? No. It's because we desire to express the love of God for us in our love and care for those who are in need. And so we move forward. If you look through the scriptures, and especially in the New Testament, how often doesn't Jesus or Paul or John talk about love? The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. If you want to know what love is, you look at God. And that's where we understand what love is. Jesus said when asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And one that's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Elsewhere in the New Testament, it says, love covers over a multitude of sins. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 said, and the greatest of all of God's gifts is love. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the best, the greatest, the most significant is love. That in whatever we do, in the essentials of unity, in those non-essentials where we have liberty, what is the controlling factor that goes over all of that? And it's God's love. And it's how we look at each other. It's how we look at the world around us. It's how God looks at us, that he loved us so much that he gave his only son, from John 3:16. And then 3:17, which we sometimes, or most of the time, somehow doesn't get in there. But it says, Jesus was not sent to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him, is John 3:17. How's that lived out? Probably one of the best examples is what Dwayne read this morning out of the book of Acts. Two, I think, some of the most powerful passages from Acts 2 and from Acts 4, which talk about the early church. There are a lot of people that say, you know, the church of the 21st century ought to go back and read the book of Acts and look at what the church of the first century was all about. And maybe we'll get a sense of what we should be about. But if you remember those passages from Acts 2 and from Acts 4, it was, this is how the early church lived together. Did they have everything totally? Was it always the same? Did they ever get into disagreements? Read the book of Acts. Yeah, they did. In fact, they even had to call the first official synodical convention in Acts chapter 15 to answer the question of what, with all the Gentiles coming into the church, what are the essentials? And above all of that was the liberty, and we're doing this out of love. But because of their great connection in and through Jesus Christ, and it was around prayer and gathering together in fellowship, that's what the church was like. That's what the unity of the church was, should be, and is. As we launch into the next 100 years, we do so with a renewed understanding of what ties us together, what brings us together, not just as a congregation, but as a Christian church as a whole. What brings them together? And it revolves around knowing God, and knowing God in and through Jesus Christ. And in that is our essential unity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning and as we come to give you praise and honor and glory, each of us is different. Each of us praises you and gives you honor and glory in a little different way. And yet you bind us together. You make us one, as Jesus prayed so long ago, that we would all be one. Lord, that is our prayer as well. We continue the prayer of Jesus, that his church, that your church, may be one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.